All right, we are back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, and Alex Plekas joining us now. Alex, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Well, thanks, we appreciate it. I introduced you a moment ago, graduate of the United States Naval Academy, top-ranked Marine aerospace engineer. You've accomplished a lot, far more than Andy and I. I feel very low to be in your presence, but we appreciate you joining us. You also do some stuff with the RNC on behalf of the state of Minnesota that we'll get into in a moment. But prior to that, you also have been to Israel, and I wanted to get an update of what's going on over there.
Well, yes. In fact, that relates to the RNC involvement because it was a trip that was put on by members of the RNC. It's not an official delegation per se,
okay. But
the idea came to us from the National Committee woman from Connecticut. Her name is Leora Levy. She was the former endorsed candidate for the U.S. Senate. She is the National Committee woman there now. Anyway, she came up with the idea and extended it to all members of the RNC. Only four of us were able to go. So there were the four of us and then a few others that went over there. And we just came back about 2 weeks ago.
And what were your findings? Give us some insight, thoughts, what's really going on. I mean, you hear a lot of things in the media, and I've, of course, done some interviews and things along those lines trying to really get the skinny on what's happening. But you've been there on the ground. Give us some insight.
Well, we wanted to go there really to show our solidarity and our support for Israel.
Nice.
And the Jewish people. And to be briefed on what had happened firsthand. So went to a lot of places. Some of the sites we went to right away, the first full day, were the towns of Sderot and Ofakim. We also went to one of the kibbutz there called Near Oz. I'm not actually sure how to say that. All the places I just mentioned were close to the Gaza border.
Okay.
So we were there. We got a chance to visit with the people who live there and the IDF soldiers and kind of gather what actually happened.
Go ahead, Andy.
Oh, go ahead.
What I was going to ask is when you – I've wondered myself, those towns which are – on the border, which, as we know, and you know, we read the accounts, they were they were the first ones hit. That was the surprise attack, basically. What's their feeling on all of what's happening now, and including even, I don't know whether they did the trade, they would have done the trade, I guess, after, or maybe that was being negotiated while you were still there. Give us some insight there as well.
Well, yes, the negotiations or whatever occurred was happening while we were there. We were not part of that.
Okay.
The actual swap occurred after we had left.
All right.
We were there a little bit earlier than that. You asked about what is the feeling of the people. Well, I would say universally, no matter who we met with, and we met with quite a few people in the government, the military, the intelligence community, IDF soldiers on the ground, citizens, and so on, pretty much the universal feeling is they have to make this right. They had to go in.
Yep.
They had to take care of Hamas. And their resolve is complete, 100%. They are going to eliminate Hamas and give them no capability whatsoever after this is said and done to come back and have any sort of power.
Alex, how do they eliminate a group that was voted in and is still polling well in favor of the majority of people in Gaza? I mean, it's not just a few Hamas officials getting rid of them. That's a Leviathan. All you did was cut off a head. But what do you deal with? How do you deal with the fact that the people are Hamas?
Good question.
Well, you're asking me kind of a million-dollar question there. From what I can gather,
you're the million-dollar man, though, Alex. So we expect some answers.
Okay, well, then I'll say it's a $10 million question. It's beyond my pay grade, let me put it that way. Well, what I would say, what I can gather is that this is a deep-seated issue that,
yeah,
that transcends local current politics.
True.
You know, I've seen where these people are brainwashed from the moment they come into this world.
True.
I've seen interviews where the mothers of these little kids are saying they hope they grow up to kill Jews. And it is an anti-Semitic,
yep,
culture.
How can,
that is worldwide.
How can you leave that people group there in Gaza next to you and think that these people, once you get rid of the people who they think are their heroes, Hamas, once you get rid of their heroes, how can you think they're not going to rise up again and become the same problem in less than a decade, really?
I don't know the answer to that. All I know is that based on what I saw occurred there and what I was briefed on, the Israeli forces are going to have to take care of this. They're going to have to wipe it out. What that looks like once this is said and done, I don't know. Hmm. You know, frankly, I had the feeling, you know, I'm not an expert, but
right.
my geopolitical assessment is that we might be seeing the beginnings of World War III.
Hmm.
This may be the trigger that causes a domino effect around the world, and it'll depend on what happens in other places in the world that are looking to see what is Israel doing and what are we doing to either help them or not help them. So from a geopolitical standpoint, this may be a far bigger thing than any of us realize.
I don't know that I can argue with that, and I want to get you and Andy's yeah. opinion on this. When you look at what's happening around the U.S., especially your neck of the woods, Alex, where you've got all these Palestinian protests going on, this is becoming, to your point, very, very divisive among a lot of different people groups, to the point that I didn't think it ever would, by the way.
Yeah, Alex, I kind of wanted to ask, what is it like in another war-torn landscape called Minneapolis, where, let's face it, it is one of the hotbeds nationwide for hating Israel?
Well, it's not only here, though. When I came back
no,
from Israel, I saw it, you know, being on the news reports all around the country.
Yeah.
And living here in Minneapolis, of course, I'm in a little, you know, peaceful enclave west of the city, about 12 miles. You wouldn't know that Minneapolis is only 12 miles away, so I don't actually see it here. But I see news reports of it here and elsewhere. I don't see it any worse here than other places in the country.
Okay.
But I will tell you that two takeaways from my trip, and there's a lot of takeaways, but two really fundamental ones, is first, talking about what's going on here, is the vast amount of anti-Semitic sentiment
yep.
in the U.S. and around the world. People don't know history.
No.
They don't know the reality, and it's Fact. Hugely misguided.
Yep.
But that sort of anti-Semitism, in my view, is as evil in itself as what was actually being perpetrated. And then the other big takeaway that I got from my trip was the absolutely indescribable evil that was perpetrated out there. There are no words to describe it. It's beyond words.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. You sort of beat me to the punch there, is, you know, knowing what all happened there. And, you know, I've read some things that, you know, haven't seen it for myself, haven't been there like you have, but I've read enough reports on different things and some of the eyewitness accounts and so on. I mean, this literally, Alex, these guys are just literal evil butchers. I have no other explanation for it. In my opinion, they just need wiped off the planet. Done.
And I think that's what Israel is tending to do. You know, one of the things that we were privileged to see, and I say privileged with quotes around it because it was tough to see, is we were all shown and given the opportunity not to watch it if we didn't want to, but we all did. It was a thing that's now known as the 47-minute video, which, by the way, it changes a little bit over time as they get new information and want to replace something in it. So we saw a version of it while we were there. And it's not a documentary. It doesn't have any talk over it. But what it is a compilation of videos and some audio that came from a variety of sources. They had body cams from terrorists that they had retrieved from either terrorists that were later killed or captured,
right.
From dash cam videos on cars, from CCTV, from mobile phone videos that the terrorists were taking while they were committing their atrocities and posting them on social media in real time, and also mobile phone videos from the victims that were recovered later,
mm-hmm.
and audio recordings. And I can tell you, what we saw in that video is, frankly, too gruesome to describe
right.
here on air.
Right.
But the level of brutality is just beyond words.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Go ahead, Andy.
Hey, really quick here, Alex. What do you see politically coming out of this? Now, you're obviously with the RNC in Minnesota. Minnesota's been dominated by the left. However, when the regular folk, okay, and I'm not talking hardcore Republican or Democrat, people in the middle, and there are a lot of them these days, when they see the left spouting and espousing this level of hatred and literally calling for and being okay with genocide, do you think that's going to start to hurt the Democrat Party in Minnesota?
Well, first thing, let me make a correction. I'm with the RNC, which is a national group,
right.
not Minnesota.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're the representative from Minnesota, right?
Right, and yeah. I'm very involved in Minnesota politics as well, but
well,
the
yeah.
RNC is actually the national level.
Right.
I would hope...
Okay, well, one second, Alex. Tell you what, answer it both for Minnesota and nationally. What do you
think? Well, I think the answer is basically the same either way, which is that I would hope that reasonable people in the middle, not the hardcore,
right,
you know, people on the right or the left, but the people who are in the middle, that, you know, kind of tend one way or the other, when they actually see what's happening and trust that it's true, that they will come around. But I'm also seeing a lot of craziness in the world right now that's just not making any sense to me. Like I say, all the people that are demonstrating pro-Palestine, which has never been a country in the history of the planet,
correct?
They don't understand history. They don't understand the local reality. To see them continue to demonstrate in those numbers makes no sense to me. Okay. So I'm hopeful. I guess I'll be optimistic that the people in the middle will kind of sit back and take sense of what's going on and assess things realistically and factually, and then come around to it. And yes, I think if they do that, the left and the Democrat Party will be hurt, because we went there to show solidarity with Israel from the Republican side. There is not, as far as I know, any efforts to do the same thing from the other side. In fact, most of the rhetoric that you see that's anti-Israel is coming from that side.
Got it. Okay, so along those lines, Alex, what message do you feel the RNC needs to get out? You just talked about a moment ago, we get reasonable folks to start listening and then responding accordingly. On the same token, they've got to be, their eyes have to be opened up. We've got to, in some cases, pry them open, and, you know, at times. What's the RNC's plan, or can you share with us what the RNC's plan is to help with that?
Well, we don't have a plan per se. I mean, I think we're just acting out of our own convictions and morality. I don't know that we have any sort of a plan to attack the issue of Israel and what to do there, except to say that we have a universal voice, that we are in solidarity with them. We feel that Israel has the right and obligation to take care of the issue as they are, and continue to be on that platform. I mean, I think one of the problems, and I'm speaking for myself now,
right,
not
right,
as a member of the RNC or anybody else, I think one of the problems that Republicans have had, generally speaking, is that we don't hold to our core values as closely as we should, whether it's this or any other issue. We should hold to our core values and not equivocate about them.
I won't disagree with that, but I will. I guess I'm going to challenge you, given the fact you've got a seat at the table with the RNC. Why are we not prepping our candidates and getting a message out that as a party and really as a country, we should be standing in solidarity with Israel, and all of this nonsense with these Palestinian protests need to absolutely be gone? I mean, they need to go away. We need to educate people properly on what's happening, and I feel it's our duty as Republicans and conservatives to make that happen.
Yeah, well, that's a big challenge.
I know.
Again, speaking for myself,
I know, but I'm kind of being devil's advocate. You guys are in the seat to make that change happen.
Well, like I was about to say, is that one of, I think, the characteristics of people being conservative or Republican is that we are individuals, and we hold to our own convictions. We're generally conservative, but we don't want to be told what to think.
Right.
And that's true for most candidates I know. They don't want to be told what to think. They don't want to have a party line. They want to, you know, they're conservative, but they have their own views, and so it's kind of like trying to herd cats. Really,
I get that, and I feel like at times that, and by the way, everything you just said, 100%, can't disagree with any of that. You're spot on, and in fact, at times I think it's part of what hurts our party, and I want to be careful when I say that because I don't want to take any of that independence away. But, Alex, I also know that as a family, for example, we can have totally independent kids from one another, but yet still operate as a family unit trying to drive the same message forward. And that takes real leadership to make that happen. And I'll just be frank, I don't see that right now in our GOP statewide anywhere or nationally. There are a few states that do this pretty well, but honestly, we need help in that area on a unified front to confront the things that you're even talking about.
Don't disagree with you there either. But it makes it more difficult when we have national-level candidates, even at the presidential level, who will come out and bash the party without any kind of a support there, facts.
Can't disagree with that.
We're basically tearing ourselves apart that way.
Yeah, no, I am with you. And again, this, to me, I say it a lot on this show, and if there's anything I'm critical of when it comes to our particular party and our side, is just the utter lack of leadership that people can get behind to make this a unified front while still being independent, while still holding your own views. I don't ever want to take that away from anybody, but we've got to be more unified, like, I hate to say, the other side is. And I know it's not, it's easy for them because they don't have that same independence that we have. They don't look at it the same way, and I get that. But some way, somehow, Alex, we've got to figure out how to make this work, or we're going to keep losing.
Well, I'm a little bit more optimistic than that, but I'm doing my part as best I can, but at the national level and then here locally in Minnesota.
Well, I appreciate it, and, you know, and likewise, we are too. It's partly what we do here on a daily basis, you know, trying to speak to all the different folks that are out there. But I'll tell you, and I don't envy you, this is a long row to hoe. It is not easy. It's not an easy task. I don't ever envy any of you folks that sit on any of those, you know, positions that you're in and trying to make the difference here. And by the way, Alex, I do believe that if we get the word out and we get enough people, to your point earlier, that really see things for what they are and we educate properly, I believe there's a lot of situations where we can flip even some blue things over to red. We just have to do a better job of educating people on what's really going on.
Agree with you there. It's kind of tough when the educational institutions around the country from grade school on are kind of controlled by the other side.
You know, one last thing here, Alex. You're correct on that, but I think it's also been helpful watching those educational institutions get exposed on Capitol Hill, like the three Ivy League schools. I think that that's opening up a lot of eyes to where they're saying, geez, maybe I shouldn't be trusting everything I'm hearing from the schools.
Yep, I agree.
Yep, yeah, that was a good expose, I thought.
Yep.
And hopefully that'll lead to other things.
Alex, you take that, and I agree with Andy, you take that, though, and then can also combine that with the, you know, 8 to 10 million people that have gone from the public education system to the homeschooling end of things, and we start seeing some of those shifts. All of that combined, is there hope? Absolutely. We just have to continue to push and you know, move forward the best way we possibly can, and we've got to be more unified in how we do that.
Yeah. But we got to go beyond tactics. We got to go to strategy. Frankly, I think this country is in need of a revival.
Agree.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a Christian revival, but some sort of a conservative revival, although a Christian revival would be good too.
Yep.
But that's what we need, because we're heading in the wrong direction.
I cannot agree with you more on that. And lastly, thank you, by the way. I know it takes time out of your day to do the things that you do. Thank you, by the way, for going to Israel. I know folks like Andy and I, you know, we're not able to do that. We don't have the ability to go and do what you did. You know, we daily show our support for them, and I've said it many, many times here, and we'll continue to do so. We are on their side. I want to make sure everybody listening fully understands that. Alex, I don't care if I get criticized for that. I'm going to stand on their side all day long because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, me too.
So, period. Alex, again, I appreciate it. I know Ann did a great job in getting this all set up, and I know you were ill, tried to do this a week or so ago, and it didn't pan out, but I really appreciate your time today. And, again, appreciate what you did going over there, and really on our behalf. You really were our representative as well, and we appreciate that very much.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Alex. Take care. Have a great evening. This is John Rush from Rush to Reason and Drive Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Check out more of our podcasts at rushtoreason.com or drive-radio.com.